developing showers during the day. Friday's high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC New Year's Eve edition, I guess Alabama Rose Bowl Eve edition of the Miller's Edge. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready, man. I'll say this, Chase. I'm just ready for this game at this point. I feel like we've been talking about it for quite some time. Had some time last week before the break. Plus, just kind of just talking about it, you know, outside of radio. Then last night, hopped on a podcast with the guys over the Bama Standard and talked about it some more. Pastor Payne made a surprise appearance on there, and we chopped it up. So I feel like we've been talking about this game. I'm just ready for it, man. I'm ready for it. I know the coaches are talking about it right now. We just were talking about that with each other. There's a press conference going on. Maybe we'll pull some clips, but I was listening to it. I'll just be completely honest with you. The press conference was a little bland. You could just tell. I was telling Chase, man, definitely just feels that these coaches are ready to get out there and lead their teams on that football field and play some football, right? Cignetti definitely, you know, he's not going to say a whole bunch regardless. That's kind of who he is. But you can just tell. I mean, they've had cameras in their faces nonstop over the last week and a half. But there's a couple of things we could probably pull from. There's one good question about what Coach has learned about his team over the season. I thought that was a good one. But some of the other things, it's a long press conference. I don't want to waste too much time on it. But we might get a little bit of that. There was media day with the players. Plenty of interviews. Now, we talked a little bit about some of the news, or I guess some of the clips that had come out from media day with the players being interviewed yesterday after the show. We stood around. We hung out on the stream a little bit after we got off of radio and played some of that audio. But we'll definitely be playing that because there's been a lot of things coming out. This is kind of like where it's like free reign for the media, right, Chase? I mean, everybody on the team is available to the media, which is typical for bowl games. I saw a memory from my first bowl game ever back in 2014 when we played Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, and ESPN was going around because the way it works is you got like the starters, they're set up, they've got like the name card, like tables and stuff like that. Then the rest of the guys are kind of just hanging around, but they also are available to the media. Long story short, I just saw a clip back from my freshman year where ESPN was going around, and of course, us freshmen, we didn't have our own tables. Unless you're Cam Robinson, you were starting left tackle. We were, you know, kind of just hanging out, chilling. Well, they found Rashawn Evans, and they were asking a bunch of people our favorite moments, right? Or I guess our favorite thing about the Sugar Bowl at that time. And, well, I don't know if you guys ever saw this clip, but he basically just flat out said, yeah, I've really enjoyed Bourbon Street. That was his answer. And she was the young lady interviewing him was in disbelief. Like, are you really going to say that? You know, Coach Saban is probably going to see this. He gets ESPN on his TV, and he doubled down on it. So that always comes to mind when you think about this. But long story short, that's what was going on yesterday. So, of course, media members, man, they had free reign on all these guys that they don't typically get to talk to. So we heard from the likes of, you know, Keelan Russell, Austin Mack, hell, even the kicker, right? And they got to ask him a number of questions. So there's a lot of stuff to catch up on. So we'll go back and we'll do that. We'll continue breaking down this game. It's Prediction Wednesday. Typically, we do it on a Friday since we play on Saturdays. Since we play on Thursday, which is tomorrow, New Year's Day, we're doing that today. So you guys can call in. We'll get your predictions, get your thoughts on this matchup. The final one right before the game, which is tomorrow, 3 p.m. kick. So make sure you guys are ready for that. If you guys want to listen, I do some pregame stuff before the game with the Crimson Tide Sports Network, so make sure you guys tune into that. Then after the game, we'll have the post-game show where I offer my analysis alongside Greg Robertson, who's my partner on the LLH Healthcare post-game party show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, who will be joining us at the top of the hour. So you'll get an early sneak peek of me and Gray. At the top of the hour, we'll be discussing our thoughts on this matchup, plus some other ones, Chase, because the next round of the playoffs actually gets started tonight. You got Miami taking on Ohio State. We'll probably dive into that just a little bit. I'm excited for that matchup. I think it'll be a good game to watch, and we'll definitely talk about it. But that's what we got on tap. Plenty of media to talk about and listen to. Plenty to talk about this game. I think we need to put a bow on some of the tape that we've been watching. So all that coming up, plus Gray Robertson at the top of the hour. And I'm not sure about Slade. I know he mentioned he should be good for today, but hadn't heard from him. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. But that is what we've got planned for you. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Make sure you guys call us. I know sometimes we get backed up. I promise. Hey, listen, if you call before 12, I can guarantee we'll get you on here because we're free until then. So if you want to get on the phone lines, do it now. That's probably best. But also, don't forget, if you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, you guys know where to go. The Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose, right? You can go on in there. Walk-ins are welcome. They got foot massage, all that stuff. They show you impressions of your arch, show you how you'll benefit from these arch supports that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. These things are game changers. They work phenomenally. Let them work for you. You can always go to their website as well, goodfeet.com, where you can schedule an appointment, find the nearest location. You can see it on the stream right there and get plenty more information. But they are nationwide. That's the luxury of them. They're nationwide. You can find them all over the place. We got listeners from all over. So don't worry. There's a Good Feet Store near you, I promise. Just look it up on their website. That is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll stay on schedule. We'll dive into this. We'll keep talking about this Rose Bowl again. Gray Robertson at the top of the hour. We'll get y'all's thoughts and more right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Eve edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arts support experts. All right, Chase, there's literally so many angles, so many ways we can go with this, and hell, we're just going to pick one. So I want to talk a little bit or play some of these quick little snippets from Media Day, which was yesterday, and it was for both teams, right? So basically, the floor is open. Media has free reign. I mean, they can go around and ask anybody questions. So, of course, they're going to take advantage of that opportunity. And I mean, can't blame them, right? I mean, they don't get to speak to half of these guys. Even though we have a lot of media availability now in the last couple of years, but still there's a number of guys that haven't been able to be addressed. And we know not only is it college football playoff time, but what else is around the corner, Chase? The transfer portal. So there's a lot of questions that are being thrown around. So, of course, they took it upon themselves to, you know, maybe just kind of Just prod a little bit, just see kind of what the and I would actually, it wasn't even prod. I think some people were just straight up asking, are you going to be here next year? And so there's some answers that we've heard of. So let's start there. And I know we played it on the stream after we got off radio, but we were off air at that point. And I just want to bring it up because I feel like we've had this conversation, like, how does the quarterback room look after this year? I mean, does Ty Simpson come back? Does he go to the draft? Do you lean towards Keelan Russell? Austin Mack looked pretty damn good with his development last time we saw him against Eastern Illinois. It's kind of been, you know, all over the place, not knowing how this whole thing looks. Hell, and even people are turning their attention to the new shiny toy that we have, you know, Tamala, the quarterback, early enrollee, right, who set a bunch of records in his state of high school football, and he just got on campus. And from the eye test, he looks to be, a very, I guess, I hate saying that, very promising just by the eye test. But you get what I'm saying. I mean, the guy's all of 6'4", 220. A lot of people excited about him. But anyway, that said, let's start here because I thought this was interesting. And the reason it's interesting is you got two very different answers here. Could mean something, could mean nothing at all. I'll give you my thoughts once we hear about it. But let's start here. So Hunter DeCiver, I think he looks like he covers with Bama Central, right? He asked both of the quarterbacks, the backup quarterbacks, Austin Mack and Keelan Russell, their plans for next season. Excuse me. These were their answers. We'll start with Austin Mack first. Hold on. Let me pod this up, and this is what he said.
I mean, right now I'm focused on this moment. I mean, we're in the Rose Bowl. I got to be ready. I got to be ready to play on Thursday. So just knowing that I'm one play away and being ready for my guys.
Not a bad answer. Don't get me wrong. Not a bad answer at all. Listen, I mean, folks on the Rose Bowl, he is QB2 technically. I know both those guys are probably trusted, but I'm sure he would be the next guy in if something were to happen. Knock on wood. I got my wooden desk. Don't worry. So, listen, not a bad answer. We understand. I mean, be where your feet are. They're focused on this game. Hell, I'll be honest with you. Even if I had every intention of coming back, I probably would give a similar answer knowing, like, that's the right answer, so to speak, right? We're about the team. We're about where we're at now, and it's all about winning the next game because it's win or go home. So, trust me, I get that part. However, it does differ, you know, pretty significantly from the other answer, which again, you got guys, this guy's a little bit older, so maybe he's taking the more, you know, probably politically correct answer approach. Again, that's why I said it could mean something, could be nothing. Before I add my thoughts, and there's Wyatt creeping up back in the, Wyatt just pops up in the back of all the, did you notice this, Chase? He was in the video yesterday. He's on this one. I think I just saw him on another video that I just scrolled by, but Wyatt's just like, he's photobombing all these videos. He's got a new haircut and I think he's trying to show it off. Let's go ahead and hear from Keelan Russell, hear what he had to say. Again, two different answers. Here we go.
I'm staying here for sure. I'm road tied all the way.
And it literally was that quick. I mean, like 2 seconds, he got, yes, I'm staying here. I'm Roll Tide all the way. And for our folks that are tuned into our stream over on YouTube, again, check us out completely free at the Miller's Edge. Come hang out with us. And you can tell by his face, you know, his expression on his face. I mean, there's no, like, you know, a lot of younger folks, there's no cap, right? He's not capping right here. I mean, I think his face even tells you. He's like, nah, man, that's not even a question. I'm Roll Tide. So for anybody that was little concern about, man, you know, we got 5-star Keelan Russell that we're so excited about. Damn, he looked smooth when he got some opportunities. Man, we're looking forward to him. We don't want to have to worry about him knowing, man, there's some sharks in the portal, right? I mean, it's a dirty game. They're talking about Lane Kiffin. He's sending 6 coaches back over to coach Ole Miss tomorrow. There's allegedly tampering going on, and it's just a mess, right? So trust me, people are out to get good players. We saw South Carolina people were, we're saying, hey, man, that coach, he looked like he was trying to get a little too comfortable with Keelan Russell. We know this guy. I mean, both quarterbacks, for that matter. But you got an answer there. So I think a lot of people feel really, really strongly about that. But back to the first one. Chase, let me just get your opinion real quick. I mean, I'll play it real quick so you can analyze it one more time. But again, Austin Mack was asked if he would be here in Alabama next season. This was his answer. One more time.
I mean, right now I'm focused on this moment. I mean, we're in the Rose Bowl. I got to be ready. I got to be ready to play on Thursday. So just knowing that I'm one play away and being ready for my guys.
All right, Chase, floor is yours, man. Is he giving us a politically correct answer? And you think he has intentions of being back here, or you think, hey, writing's on the wall, brother? I mean, that answer kind of tells you what you need to know.
Exactly. I think what he's saying, there is some truth to it, but I think Austin, with his character and how he presents himself on and off the field, he doesn't want to bring any attention to himself right now. It's all about Indiana and what's going to happen tomorrow. And I'm telling you, if you would have said, yeah, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it with my agents or my family and stuff, it would have blown up immediately. And that's the wrong publicity Alabama needs right now. So we'll see if that holds up the next couple of months, because college football is very weird when it comes to the transfer portal. So, but yeah, I think right now a lot of these players' mindset, quote unquote, is focused on the game ahead, and that is Indiana.
Let me put the question out there for our listeners, man. Everybody in the chat, you know, radio, all that stuff. You guys can call in or drop an app message real quick. We'll definitely be checking that. But what do you guys think after hearing both responses? I'm not sure if you heard it yesterday or you're hearing it for the first time or whatever the case is, but what do you guys think? I guess we have the on Keelan Russell. I mean, there's nothing there. I guess it's more so pertaining to Austin Mack. Keelan Russell was about as straight as you could be. And again, the video even, I mean, confirms it, right? Sometimes somebody might say something, you might read their body language or their expression. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Austin Mack, this is my thoughts on it, Chase. When I first heard it yesterday and I said on the stream, I legit said, yeah, he's gone. As soon as he said that, I said, yeah, he's gone. Because that very much does give the impression of, hey, man, like, I'm definitely wavering right now. I'm definitely thinking about it. But then the, after listening to it again, I'm starting to kind of think, you know what? Because I, like I said, I mean, personally, even if I had every intention to come back, I feel like that's the right answer to talk about. Because to me, that is a, and it's, I'm not blaming the person who asked it, but that's somewhat of a selfish question, right? When you're talking about, hey, all of us are here in California at the Rose Bowl on, we're supposed to be on a mission, right? And that is to beat the Indiana Hoosiers so we can advance. I personally would get that question like, man, I don't want to put the attention on me and what I'm doing. No, I would, we're here, I have a job. And like he said, like, he is the backup. If they need him to go in, his ass has to be ready to play. It's going to fall on his shoulders. So last thing he wants to do is, you know, come out in the media and say one thing, and then he ends up getting called up to action, and then something would, you know, it could just go. Yeah. So I don't know. That being said, his offensive coordinator or former offensive coordinator slash quarterback coach did just take a job with Michigan, Michigan State, yeah, as the next offensive coordinator in Nick Sheridan. I think Tia said it, and I actually agree. I would not be shocked if maybe he goes with Nick Sheridan. I mean, listen, players follow coaches all the time. I don't know their quarterback situation. They obviously aren't a good football team. They just fired somebody and hired somebody else. I'm pretty sure it was the deal. I mean, especially if Nick Sheridan just got hired. I'll be honest, I don't even remember exactly what happened with Michigan State. They hadn't really been very good in several years. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see that happen. Regardless of whatever happens, happens. It's really, I don't think it's that deep. I mean, you know for a fact, Keelan for sure is back. And then you got to wait and see with Ty. I'm still, I don't know with that one, Chase. I'll be honest with you. Only anybody else, I would say, you know, with the grade Ty's going to get, I would say, yeah, they're gone. Like, without a doubt, they're gone. Yeah, they might have had a little bit of a slump. Listen, if you have even a late first round grade, you're a quarterback, just go. However, knowing the maturity of Ty, knowing the patience that he has displayed, without a doubt, I mean, I could totally see him coming back and saying, hey, especially say, now if we win a national championship, I mean, I think he's definitely gone because he accomplished. But to say we don't win the championship, and then he's also weighing the options of, hey, I could go back to school. NIL is, you know, I'm taken care of, you know. Yeah, signing bonus in the first round would be a lot higher, but still, I'm probably making some seven-figure range, I would imagine, as a quarterback at the University of Alabama. And if he didn't make it this year, I'm sure if he came back, he would. Keelan's already coming back, so I could totally see him coming back. And I don't think that'd be bad either. I know some people might be eager for the next thing, but to me, if you got a quarterback that started this year and got you this point, he wants to come back to school as a fifth-year guy. I know Keelan's there, but it ain't going to hurt Keelan necessarily to develop one more year. Honestly, I think that'd probably be a solid situation. I think you probably, I mean, as talented as Keelan is, at least you know what you're getting out of Ty. And then you still have Keelan right there if you do need to turn to him. I'll be honest, I think if Ty comes back, it actually probably would work out well for this football team. But again, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But this is one of the things that came out of Media Day yesterday that I just wanted to throw out there, because we have been talking about the whole quarterback thing. I feel like a lot of people have, these guys went and asked these kind of questions, and those were their answers. Again, couldn't have no meaning at all. But like I said, I just, you know, two vastly different answers. So couldn't help but throw that out there. Also, real quick, I know we're about to hit a timeout, but in terms of other people, again, being asked very direct questions, which I'll be honest with you, Chase, as a player, I probably would be annoyed with some of this stuff. But to be honest, I mean, as a member of the media right now, man, listen, these are just some, you know, straight shooter questions. You know, all the, hey, what's your favorite food to eat on Thanksgiving? Man, we can skip all that, man. Just go, just ask them. If you're going to ask them, just do it. And we got another one, Ryan Williams. And I don't know if we got to mention this one or not, but same deal with him. I don't have the clip just yet, so I'll just throw this on here for a second. But he flat out said, I'm Alabama through and through. I have no intentions of being anywhere else. So you're getting some confirmations on these guys. So there you go. You got a number of guys doubling down and saying, hey, man, we're Alabama through and through. You ain't got to worry about us, which is definitely good to hear. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. There's plenty more to dive into. Want to hear a little bit on Indiana's side, right? Fernando Mendoza. If you guys have not heard him speak to the media, it's quite the experience. Very interesting guy, but you got to love it, man. He's very authentic. He is himself. But he had some words about Alabama, some very strong words in a positive way. We'll listen to that and more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Again, Gray Robertson joins us at the top of the hour to talk about this game, preview it, predict it, and also the other college football playoff game matches that will be taking place. Again, tonight you got Ohio State, Miami, 6:30. We'll talk about that a little bit. And Ole Miss, Georgia, Chase, that is a very interesting game as well, man. Lane Kiffin, he's not there anymore, but his staff is. And my guy Pete Golden, man, a lot of you guys not big fans of Pete, but I love Pete. That's my guy. We'll see what he can do. He led his team to their first win in the first round against Tulane. Now he gets a chance to have a rematch against Kirby Smart in Georgia. So two of my former coordinators going at it. We'll see how that one goes. Maybe we'll talk about it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
DanielMoreArt.com. Celebrate those special Alabama moments. Whether we're celebrating a national championship or we're looking back at the great tradition of the University of Alabama, you can find the Legacy Continues prints, which is one of my favorite prints. Or if you want to celebrate those victories over those Auburn Tigers or winning a national title, it all starts at DanielMoreArt.com. And when you check out, tell them that you heard about it here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9. DanielMoreArt.com. Celebrate that Alabama fan in your life at DanielMoreArt.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
California, here we come.
The Crimson Tide, the Indiana Hoosiers, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl.
Going to the Rose Bowl, baby.
To play top-seeded Indiana.
Roll Tide.
The road to the national title continues. Live from Pasadena, California, our coverage begins at noon on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center, online at DCHSystem.com. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. a lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art sport experts. It's New Year's Eve. You're looking for a place to go hang out, watch some of these games. Again, Miami, Ohio State tonight. You got the big one in the Rose Bowl, granddaddy of them all, tomorrow with Bama, plus Georgia, Ole Miss. I'm definitely going to be tuning into that one. And you got to tune into Oregon and Texas Tech to see who Alabama will play, given that they beat Indiana tomorrow. So if you're looking for a place to do that, you enjoy a nice stick, a nice cigar, nice bourbon. Got 160 of them for you right there at R&R Cigars. Check them out, 2703 Gary Fitz Street right here in Tuscaloosa. You can't miss it. A great place to go do all that stuff, man. It's a vibe. They've got the mansion that is now the Cigar Mansion. So make sure you guys check that out. If you haven't, the website, rnrcigars.com. Go order from them. On the website, best deals on cigars you can find. Plus, code Miller's Edge will get you a discount to take advantage of that, man. I'm telling you, they'll hook you up, man. Reagan does a good job with it. You guys hear from when he comes on the show with his smoking hot picks, but he's definitely passionate about his cigars, and they've always got some cool stuff in the making. That they're making new cigars and they're running specials and whatnot. Hell, he threw a special out there when we were on the show last time. You know, depending on how much we beat Oklahoma by, which ended up being, what, 10 points? So there's a 10% discount. So they're always doing fun stuff, man. Reagan's a fun dude, so make sure you guys check them out. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. All right, we've got Smitty on the phone lines. I got some more clips I want to play, but I want to talk to my guy Smitty real quick. I want to get his thoughts as we continue on this prediction Wednesday, New Year's Eve edition, 205-342-9904. Smitty, talk to me, man. What's on your mind?
Well, how's it going, Christian?
Oh, it's going well, brother. I can't complain, man. How's everything? You going to brag about the weather again now that the weather dropped on us? And it's, I mean, it's like we're ice cubes down here, and you're probably living it up in, what, 65-degree weather right now?
Well, I won't be happy after I pull out the credit card for dinner tonight with the ladies. So, you know, yeah, that kind of hurts that poor credit card off of New Year's Eve dinner. That's all I got to say.
Jesus.
Yeah, I might have to sell plasma tomorrow.
Get you some fireworks, man, and just go light some fireworks and just call it a day, man. You ain't got to blow all that money, man. Come on, man.
Hey, you know
those are expensive too nowadays, though. The fireworks aren't cheap, man. I got to hit my guy Keaton up. Keaton Anderson, I don't know if you know this, who played football here. He played safety. He was the original 31 before Will Anderson came to town. But
yeah,
Keaton's family, man, they own TNT Fireworks. I don't know if our listeners.
Oh, I'd anybody, heard.
Oops. I don't know if he got excited by me telling him that or something just came up. But I hope he's good, man. It sounded like he got a little surprised by something. I don't know if it was the news of Keaton's family owning TNT, but I hope my guy Smitty's all right, man. That kind of worried me. Chase, maybe keep an eye on the phone line and see if he calls back. That was a little interesting. All right. Well, real quick, I got this video right here anyway. Is he back on here? Let's see. All right, he's back. All right, good. All right, Smitty, you back with us, man? I'm not going to lie to you, brother. You had me nervous. I was like, he either got excited that Keaton's family owns TNT, or he just was driving and got distracted and something just kind of just went left. And I got a little nervous because I don't want you suing us over here on the show.
I hit a dead spot. But, like, what you was talking about, like, with those interviews, I heard the one Richard Young. I was like, come on now, guys. We all know he's out.
I didn't hear that. Wait, hold on. We got to look it up real quick. Well, they asked him the same. So is that basically what everybody was doing in the media room yesterday? Were they just basically going up to guys and asking, hey, are you going to be here or are you going to transfer? All right, cool. Next. Is that what was going on?
But some of those players, it's kind of a common sense thing, you know. You can't knock them for it, you know, that you know who's going to be out.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's part of the game. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it is what it is. I mean, I feel bad that now they're subject to just being asked direct questions like they that. But it is what it is. I guess. I mean, it's a different day and age now, you know. So, but it's kind of awkward, I guess.
And you know, the problem is also if they asked, it had to be so non-committal. You know, I believe the coaches know who's going to be out anyway. But they'll come off of them as being liars and hypocrites, you know. So you put those kids in a bad spot, you know. But
well, then it kind of creates a lot of distractions, right? I mean, yeah. Just think about it. I mean, these guys are trying to get ready to play a game, and I get the media has a job. Would I be going around asking that? Hell no. I mean, because to me, it just is one of those things where it's like, first of all, they're not going to sit there and go, "Yes, I plan on entering the portal." I mean, I wouldn't think that. And two, if they do, I mean, think about the distractions. I mean, these guys might read on Twitter, "Oh, damn, bro, you told him you're leaving. Damn, I didn't know you were leaving." Like, that's just, I don't know. I just want our guys to be locked in on this game. And I think that's why you can kind of sense, like, at least for me, when I was listening to the two coaches this morning during their press conferences, Cignetti and DeBoer kind of just were, you know, trying to answer, be respectful, just, you know, get it over with. I think everybody's kind of sick of having cameras and microphones in their face talking about it. They just want to go out there and let their guys play.
Yeah. And you talk about Ty earlier. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If he gets a good grade, he has to leave. Because at the end of the day, this is a financial decision. NIL won't cover it. Like, I don't care what NIL you get. It's not going to trump NFL money. And I know people may say second round or whatever. A lot of times the second round guy may end up going to a better situation than the first round guy. You know, yeah. Jalen Hurts, the shut kid at New Orleans now. You know, and I just think that if you go in first, because we know the Jets need a quarterback. and we've seen that mess. Cleveland, we've seen that mess. We've seen some teams, and then like Cam Ward this year. Oh, you stink. Are we sure he's the guy? But then you got Tyler Shuck in a dinky situation in New Orleans. Oh, he's the guy. But look at the surroundings. And I think that, but then you also could risk losing money. Garrett Nussmeier lost money coming back. Matt Barkley about 10 plus 15 years ago, I don't know, almost that long ago, lost money. He was going to be a first round pick. He stayed in the school, got picked apart. He was a fifth round pick, became a journeyman. Sometimes you just got to go and worry about the other stuff later because you can't get that money back.
But according to your logic, though, I mean, you could be in a better spot if you get picked a little later. So, I mean, seems like regardless. Yeah, I mean, it's all about perspective, I guess, and weighing your options and, you know, I guess weighing the risks, right? Like you said, there is a chance you come back to school. It's not guaranteed you climb up draft boards. And I would almost argue the quarterback situation next year, I'd probably argue that it's a little bit better than what it is right now. If I was Ty Simpson, if it was me, I'll be honest with you, I probably would go ahead and leave. If I had a first-round grade, I would probably go ahead and leave. And I'm just like him. You know, I'm very passionate about, you know, the University of Alabama. And even when I was a player, same thing. I had a similar mindset. Very patient mentality, mature mentality. I mean, I was very similar to Tyson. That's why I like him a lot. However, you know, first round grade is a first round grade. And you can't go back to college once you leave. But I don't know. I just feel like as a quarterback, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be mad if he comes back. If anything, I think it would be good for him. But I kind of like what you were talking about, is weighing those things and then knowing the quarterback class and next year's. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I probably would just go ahead and take the money now.
Yeah, because look at Dante Moore. Everybody said, well, he doesn't have that much experience. But, hey, if they got him as a top five pick, you worry about that later. Give me my $50 million. What happened? You pop your shoulder like Drew Brees did. Good luck. Or your hip with Tua. And Tua got lucky there with his draft spot.
God. Man, Tua was beaten, bruised by the time he left here, man. I don't even think people realize, like, Tua, man, that first of all, that hip injury was bad. I think it was similar to like what C.J. Mosley had against LSU, like a dislocation type deal. And then, I mean, Tua, I mean, had high ankle sprain. Tua got beat up here, brother, before he got to
league. He got lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Something to consider for sure.
But about the game, right, I was seeing a lot of media. I was like, they pretty much telling Alabama, just go check out In-N-Out Burger in Cali and go and fly back. that's what it sounds like. Because these people are like, look, man, I know Alabama ain't looked pretty all year long. But one, I don't think there's a team in the country that played as many good defenses that Alabama has played this year. I'm just being real with you. especially the pass rush. Also, this team, they pretty much telling Alabama they ain't bleep. Let's just be real about that. And this team has pride. They got their back against the wall. We got one of the best big game coaches in the country. They keep saying, well, they don't run the ball well. I think Kalen DeBoer has known that since early on in the season, and they've been coaching around that all season long. You know, but just it's not like he just figured that out last week. He knew this. Yeah. And they still call run plays. But I think what happens is Indiana plays a lot of zone. You may have to try to run them out of it, but also Ty plays pretty well when you are playing zone. And I just think that at the other thing also that unlocked was Ty, like we always said, take those 50-50 shots when you have them.
Yeah.
Because you know these refs are flag happy because of interference, but it's incumbent on your guys to make those tough catches as well, because you got to help your quarterback out and make tough catches. And I think with the defense, you correct me if I'm wrong, you're the defensive guy. Maybe they don't need to sit back in zone in this game. Because Fernando Mendoza, he'll pick you apart in that zone because he got a good offensive line as well. Maybe you need to go and start heating people up and trust that good secondary you have, because we got two physical corners. We got good safeties. Now I need Sab to set the quarterback when he gets that free blitz on him. But and our linebackers have gotten so much better. And we got some young guys in there on the front who's hungry. And I think maybe you just got to trust your guys, man up. And if you lose that way, you shake their hand.
Oh. Yeah, no, 100%. Me and my dad were talking about that last night when we were breaking it down. Look, man, from a defensive perspective, you got to force the issue. And that's what I've been saying. Go back and watch the Oklahoma game and watch the difference. Early in the game, we were sitting in zone playing some cover two, typical zone looks that we like to run. And listen, I think you mix everything up. I'm not saying you just go run man coverage the whole game. No.
Yep.
But I do think when we did make that adjustment, we went from playing soft zone, which we were getting picked apart by John Mateer, which I agree with you. Mendoza is a type of quarterback. He's very smart. He makes good reads, and he's on time, right? Those are all really important. He can extend plays, too. You see him do it, right? He'll use his legs, rolling out, extend plays, and he'll last second find somebody. That's what happens in zone coverage, guys. If they don't plaster their guy or they're in their zone, right, they find windows and they'll pick you apart. But when we played man, it changed the whole game for John Mateer, gave our guys up front so a little bit more time to get some pressure, because they weren't able just to pick apart little things because they had man on man immediately, right? And we had the players to do it. And, I mean, yes, you will see times where Mendoza can scramble and then take off, but he's not as much of a dual threat as some of these other guys where you're too concerned about playing too much man if you're not using the spy. I don't think that's really the issue. I think our guys up front can handle that in terms of the containment. So I'm with you. I definitely think you should keep a similar game plan to what you saw in the three quarters out of that Oklahoma game where we started playing a lot more man coverage, started bringing pressure. I think you got to heat Mendoza up. He's a good quarterback. That's what you do with all quarterbacks. And that's what me and my dad said last night. You would rather, if you're going to lose this game, lose it on your terms, right? Don't just let somebody pick you apart and, you know, they do a good job controlling the clock, running the football, just doing what they want to do. No, right? Heat them up. Make him uncomfortable. Try to force him to make some bad decisions, because, again, he's not going to gift you anything, so you got to find a way to force it. And you do that by bringing pressure. And I'm not saying we have to do the whole, you know, send the house, because under Kane Womack now, he'll get aggressive now. You got to be careful. You don't want to do too much now. You're mugging, you're showing cover zero all the time. Like, no, you got to be careful with that. But, you know, some of the simulated stuff that we've been seeing as of recent, right? And just bringing a safety here or there, bringing a backer, right? We're just bringing five, popping out, giving different looks. I think disguising could be big in this game, really try to make it hard on Mendoza that way. Again, we've been doing a much better job of that this year. All those things got to come to play. And I said last night, it's now or never, right? This is the last time. If you lose a game, it's the last time this team will ever play together, right? Yes, and you come back. Yes, you get an extra year. But with a different group, especially with transfer portal, things can look a lot different next year, right? So go out there. If you're on this football team, if I could give these guys any advice, go out there and let it loose. If you're a coach, this better be the best scheme game plan that you've ever had. Not just because, you know, oh, it's Indiana, but no, because it's now or never. And literally, you have nothing to lose. Like, people already counting you out. People don't think you're going to win. Why not go be aggressive? Go take it, right? Go prove it. again, if you lose a game, a lot of people wrote you off anyways. A lot of people didn't even think you'd get to this point. Well, here you are. So I don't think Alabama has as much to lose. And I think you can afford to just go out there and force the issue. And listen, like you just said, if they beat you like that, if you go out there, you put pressure on them, you go play your game and you play to your style, and they end up making more plays than you and they win the football game, shake their hand. It is what it is. But don't go out there and just play soft, conservative. And nah, I don't think that's the move at all.
Yeah. And I'll say this, I know you're up against it. Someone posted like Mendoza's stats against the better defenses he played this year. He didn't necessarily carve them teams up. I don't even think he threw double-digit touchdowns. And even in Ohio State game, that was a missed field goal on Ohio State. And, you know, but I still think Ohio State needed a game like that because they haven't been tested as much. But right. I just think that Alabama, let's be real here. Indiana, I think they're a great team. They're well-coached. And I think those coordinators are going to get hired by somebody next year. But at the same time, we play great defenses. Oklahoma, Tennessee has a pass rush, Missouri has a pass rush, Georgia. And we beat Georgia at Georgia. I don't care if people say they're the better team or whatever. They still went to their house and beat them. It never trailed. And this team has hit adversity from game one and bounced back and didn't quit. And I'm just saying, it may not be pretty. It may not be 2015. But this team has enough talent to beat anybody in the country if they are if they play their game. And I just believe also, I know a lot of people keep saying feed Ryan Williams. I love the kid, but you can't feed him this game. If he's open, you throw it to him. But you can't just call plays just to feed it to him against this team, because especially when we don't have the run game to fall back on. If someone's open, fine. But if they're not, let's just not worry about trying to feed someone. You just got to go with who's there and throw to the open man. And I think we'll win like 24-21. And I give you a quick picks too, Christian. I think Ohio State beats Miami because Carson Beck ain't good enough to beat Miami. You need a quarterback to beat that defense. I think Georgia beats Ole Miss. They'll cover because I don't think Ole Miss defense is good enough. And I think Texas Tech beats Oregon.
Dang. So you got Texas Tech, Ohio State, and then who'd you have with Georgia and Ole Miss? Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Man, I'm excited for that game. I mean,
me too.
The way Georgia looked last time we saw them, I mean, they look damn good, man. I think it's going to be a tough task, but I just think it'd be so cool to see Pete, man, get a big, big win like shot. That. I'm a big fan of Pete again. I know some Alabama fans think he's the worst thing ever, but I'm telling you guys, man, it never was all on him. I mean, I'm sure there's some things he probably could have cleaned up, but he's – you talk about a player's coach, a guy that loves the game, he's passionate about it, and just a smart football. I mean, I learned a lot from Pete, man. He's a smart dude, really, really, really smart football coach. I'm really pulling for him. But it's tough because I like Kirby too, man. Kirby recruited me to Alabama. He was my first coordinator there, so it's going to be a good one. But, Smitty, we appreciate you, man. Good stuff as always, brother.
Happy New Year to you and everybody out there.
Yes, sir, you too, man. Don't spend too much money out there at that club now. Smitty's gonna run up that credit card, man. I'm telling you, don't do it, man. It ain't worth it. You ain't gonna remember it anyway. Hey, real quick, since we're gonna combine these breaks, man, we got a super chat from our guy Phil over on the stream. Again, if you guys haven't checked us out, man, come hang out with us on the stream at the Miller's Edge. Big thanks to Phil. He says, do you think Ryan Williams will have a good game? DeBoer was optimistic. Ryan looked relaxed in interviews. If he does, it could open up explosive opportunities for Brooks. Jeremy Horton, Happy New Year's. Well, Happy New Year's to you, Phil. Seriously, thank you for the support. But real quick, and I'll definitely piggyback on this after, you know, once we go to our break, but do I think Ryan Williams will have a good game? It's hard for me to say. I mean, you just never know. You know what I mean? I mean, does he have the potential to have a big game? Absolutely, man. And I think he's due for one, whether it's this game or next. Ryan Williams is going to come back to life. Best believe that. He's got too much talent not to. And of course, while I'm saying that, I think they just showed a clip of him dropping the football. That is crazy, crazy timing on that. That said, though, man, listen, with his ability, he's one of the few guys that I do feel like, listen, he has that deep threat. He's got that yards after catch ability, right, with the ball in his hands. And I know what Smitty's saying. I agree with him. You don't want to force too much where you're getting out of a rhythm because you're forcing things, similar to like what we saw with Milroe when they were trying to force everything to Ryan because he was pretty much, you know, what we had. Or not Ryan. Wait, when was that? Who was that I'm thinking of? Anyway, yeah, no, it was Milroe last year. long story short, I don't think you overdo it, but you got to find ways to get your playmakers in football. You know what I mean? And whether that's screen game, whether that's, hell, even the little, it was like a reverse screen that we ran Ryan's first game back after the concussion that he took for like 70 yards for a house call. Like, when he has the football in his hands, man, he's the most talented guy on this team with the football in his hands. Now, he might be struggling with drops, but there's no denying that. Just look at how he handled the rock when we played Georgia in the SEC championship game. That's Ryan Williams, what he does. So he's due for something. He does have that ability to take the top off the defense. We just got to get his confidence up, which I think they can do that by getting him some little short, quick game, rhythm plays in there, pop pass, whatever it is, man. Get that guy comfortable, because once he gets that confidence back, I'm telling you, man, I think he's gonna take it to another level. So, and I think that'd be big, man. I think it'd be huge if he could. All right, let's hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Gray Robertson. I think we got another call. If you want to hang out, Gray will be on here probably for like 15, 20 minutes or so. Feel free to hang out. If you guys on the phone lines want to hang up, that way you can listen and call back, feel free to do that. But we got Gray Robertson of the Crimson Tide Sports Network and SEC Network coming up next. My partner in crime over on the LLH Healthcare post-game party show on the network will be joined by Gray Robertson after this quick time out right on the Miller's Edge.
Only at Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Go to TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
With approved credit on select models, interest accrues from date of purchase, offers expire month end.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
California, here we come.
The Crimson Tide, the Indiana Hoosiers, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl.
Going to Rose Bowl, baby.
To play top-seeded Indiana.
Roll Tide.
The road to the national title continues. Live from Pasadena, California, our coverage begins at noon on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHsystem.com. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high 51. Tonight clear. Not as cold as recent nights. The low 32. Tomorrow mostly sunny. The high 58. Friday becoming mostly cloudy. A chance of developing showers during the day. Friday's high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
into this New Year's Eve edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Hope you guys are doing well and hope you guys are ready for a new year. I know we're geared up for the Rose Bowl, but hope you guys are geared up for 2026 right around the corner, which I'll be honest, Chase, I'm one of those people that's more like, yeah, you know, it's technically just the next day, but I know a lot of people do, you know, put a lot of focus on the new year, and hopefully we all can start it on the right foot, right? With an Alabama dub over the Indiana Hoosiers out in California in the Rose Bowl, granddaddy of them all. We're now joined by my partner in crime, who helps me discuss Alabama football post game on the LLH Healthcare post game party show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Gray Robertson joins us. Gray, hey, it's about that time, man. We've had some time off. Hope you had a good Christmas. Hope you have some good plans for New Year's Eve. But tomorrow, man, it's time. We're rolling. We got Indiana coming up, man. How's everything?
I'm good, partner. It's it's kind of crazy to think about how both long and short the holiday season can be. I feel like it's been a month since Alabama last played, but Christmas feels like 2 days ago, and now we've got to, you know, batten down the hatches and do all the New Year's Eve things and then get ready for a big-time football game tomorrow, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. I just, like, objectively cannot wait for Alabama-Indiana. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a really good game. A lot of people not really showing us a whole bunch of love. Nashley will dive into that here in a second. But, Gray, let me ask you this. I know you've been to a lot of venues. You travel a lot. You've been watching Alabama football for quite some time. You've been a fan since you were young, I remember you telling me. Have you been out to the Rose Bowl? Did you go the last time that we went a couple years ago by chance?
I have been to the Rose Bowl, but this is I'm curious what the the listenership will think. I have never been out for an Alabama game. Time that I have been out to the Rose Bowl was for the Florida State Auburn National Championship. Went with the SEC and sat with all the SEC folks, and that was kind of my first time taking in that venue truly, and it was absolutely glorious. There's in terms of scenes for a college football game, whether you're watching on TV or whether you're there, it's very, very hard to top what the Rose Bowl can put together.
Yeah, no, I've never been, but definitely you hear all the noise about it. You see the venue, the history. It's really cool. I wish I could have played in the Rose Bowl. I mean, I played out in California, but definitely wasn't in the Rose Bowl. I played in the national championship game out in San Francisco, and yeah, that wasn't a very fun game for us, especially it being my last game ever in an Alabama uniform, man, getting curb stomped by Clemson, man. That was not fun. So that's why when I think of Alabama out in California, I know everybody, and I ask for the history on it, they're like, no, we have a good history out the Rose Bowl. And I'm like, I just think California, Alabama. I'm like, I think of last Rose Bowl. I think of my senior year. I'm like, I need some positive vibes, so hopefully we can get that tomorrow. So let's dive into it, Gray. Let's start there, and I definitely will get your thoughts on these other playoff games. I know we got one tonight in Ohio State taking on the Miami Hurricanes. Should be an interesting game as well. But when you look at this Rose Bowl game, Gray, again, a lot of national presence in the media, not really giving Alabama too much of a chance. Does that surprise you at all? I think the line was like 6.5 points initially, and I think it's still about that, but I'm hearing ESPN, I'm hearing all type of networks that just say, man, Indiana, they're too well coached, they're too disciplined, they don't make mistakes, they're fundamentally sound, they're tough, they're physical. This Alabama team, they've had a rocky second half of the season. They look good in three quarters against Oklahoma, but we don't know which Bama's going to show up. How do you view this game, Gray? Are you confident?
I would say I am relentlessly intrigued, because the last thing that you said about Alabama to me is what makes this a dangerous game. In a lot of ways, everyone, possibly including the coaching staff, really don't know what Alabama team is going to show up. So yeah. I understand why that's a negative. You would love consistency. You would love, you know, to go on a joyless murder ball rampage for four quarters. But it also means that, you know, the thing that we've talked about in post game could certainly be true. I still don't think Alabama's played their best game yet. And it could be possible that game is coming tomorrow. Now, Indiana has shown, like you mentioned, really, really strong consistency. And they're very efficient defensively, offensively. Every time I turned on an Indiana game this year, they were getting 6 yards on first down. setting up third and short or picking up the first down on second down, you know, going on these long drives that are methodical. They force turnovers really, really efficiently as well. And that's certainly something to be happy about if you're an Indiana fan and to take into account when you're analyzing the game. But I think Alabama being kind of a talent-filled wild card makes this a matchup that's pretty hard to predict. I really don't buy the conversation that's, you know, circling around saying that Indiana's going to blow out Alabama. I don't really see how that's possible. Same as I don't really think if Alabama were to win, it would be a blowout. I think that this is a game that's going to be pretty tight just when you factor in experience and talent level and the possibility of what Alabama can put on the field.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think regardless, it's going to be a close game, right? I can't sit there and say who's going to win. I do look at this game, and I think Alabama, without a doubt, has the ability to win this football game. I can't say it. I know for sure they will, because who knows? Again, Indiana's a really good football team, and like we just talked about, I mean, if this is what I said last night. I was on with some guys over at the Bama Standard doing a podcast, and this is how I view it, Gray. From my perspective, if Alabama shows up and they find a way to recreate what they did for three quarters against Oklahoma, and that was defensively providing pressure, right, sacking and affecting the quarterback, right, coming up with turnovers, offensively protecting the football, finding a way to pick up the blitz, giving Ty some time, letting him settle down, and then allowing our receivers to help him out, make some plays, right? Lots here, Brooks. And we hadn't seen that in a few weeks, and Ty hadn't been playing great, but the receivers hadn't stepped up either. If anything, they also, you know, were playing, you know, probably under their standard. And we saw all that come back to life. Hell, even special teams. Special teams was good. Shout out Connor Talta. He outplayed the Lou Garza Award winner in Oklahoma. If we can find a way to recreate that, which I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's possible, right? We're definitely capable of doing it. I think Alabama wins this football game. But I did say the but to that was the fact that there's no guarantees with that. And the reality is, I think the reason, because there's a question, you know, why is the national media so heavily leaning in Indiana? And I said, I don't think it's necessarily that there's an agenda out to go against Alabama. Yeah, there's Alabama fatigue. But I think if we're being honest and transparent, their job is to watch the game. And they're not going to watch it from the same perspective as all of us do, right, as Alabama fans. They're going to watch it from just a level of, all right, this is an Alabama football team playing so-and-so. Let's see what happens. And what they saw on tape was a struggling offense that did not look the same as the offense did earlier in the season. That's just what they saw. And you can't blame them, especially even the SEC championship game against a quality Georgia team. So that said, I do believe Alabama needs to just build off of what they showed up with against Oklahoma in those three quarters, and they should have some success. But, Gray, I do want to ask you, when you look at this Indiana team, and you talked about the discipline and you talked about, you know, all the things that they do well. Tell me a little bit about Mendoza, because, like, I know you watch a lot of football. What have you seen out of him this whole season? I know a lot of people say, well, he hadn't really been tested. And then when he did play some good football teams, he didn't really show those same numbers. I think the stat was like maybe like six total touchdowns against like the like top teams that he played. It was nothing compared to like the 20-something against, you know, some of the weaker opponents that they played. Just tell me your perspective on Mendoza. And do you think he could be an issue for this Alabama defense?
I think he certainly could be. And, you know, but there are a lot of things to like about him. There's a reason that people are tossing him around as maybe the number one overall pick. He diagnoses defenses very quickly. A lot of the mistakes that John Mateer makes and made in that last game, Fernando Mendoza is not going to make those mistakes. He can read defenses very well. He doesn't panic. And if you look at the stats, you're exactly right. Like against Ohio State, against Penn State, if you look at the top EPA defenses that he's faced, the overall numbers are not great. But what I love about him as a quarterback is he makes the throws and completes the passes and leads the drives when it matters most. And I think specifically that Penn State game, which I watched, I would say 80% of it in real time. I mean, you know, that was but I think we had a night game that day, and, you know, we were just sitting around the house watching it, and I was so taken by how he kind of flushed a shaky start to the second half to lead that drive and eventually take the lead late against the Penn State defense, I know Penn State didn't have a good year. That defense is still very good. And just his ability to make the big throws, it's kind of similar a little bit to what J.J. McCarthy was able to do a few years ago in the Rose Bowl against Alabama. That was another game where J.J. McCarthy did not have a good game at all. And then all of a sudden, in the biggest moments, he led that last drive to force overtime. That's the kind of quarterback that Fernando Mendoza is. And that's something that you can't really quantify with a stat. It's an intangible that makes him extremely dangerous and is going to make this a very, very difficult matchup for Kane Womack and the entire secondary, because they've got to figure out a way to confuse him and also make him feel a little bit of pressure, probably without blitzing a ton. Or if you do blitz, you've got to throw a lot of exotic looks at him that he probably hasn't seen, which is hard to manufacture because he's played college football for many, many years at many different levels and in multiple different conferences. But he's very impressive, and his poise in the big moments to me is the thing that A, won him the Heisman, but also B, makes him a very, very tough matchup for this defense.
Without a doubt, and I agree in terms of everything you just said about him, but also defensively what you need to do. And I've been harping on pressure. We just got done with the call, and I said, I mean, me and my dad were talking about this as well last night, man. Go out on your own ability, right? I mean, go force the issue. Don't sit back there. Listen, go be aggressive, man. If they make some plays, which they will, so be it. But I would rather, if you're going to drop a game, drop it on your terms. And I think you take the risk, right? Go out there and heat him up, make him uncomfortable. Disguise, the other thing you mentioned, something that we've been doing way better this season than I feel like we did last season. I think it's paid dividends. You know, say like, again, just going back to Xavier Brown's pick six that he had just last week against Oklahoma. I mean, that was a big play by him, but also the disguise was a big role in that. It completely confused John Mateer, and it forced that mistake. That's what I think. You got to find a way to force these mistakes, because, like you mentioned, he's not just going to naturally make a whole bunch of them himself. Very smart guy. If you haven't listened to his press conferences, any of our listeners out there, trust me, you hear him talk. He's a if he didn't play football, he probably would be a rocket scientist with Elon Musk or something. He just is a very, very quirky, very interesting guy, but a really good football player. That's for sure. Gray, let me get your thoughts real quick on some of these other matchups real quick before I get your final prediction on this one. You got Ohio State, Miami tonight. We can start there, man. Listen, Ohio State's favored by, I think, almost 10 points. But I will say, for some reason, I just have this feeling that Miami's going to make this a close game. Do you have that same feeling? Do you think there could be an upset tonight, maybe? How do you feel that game goes?
I don't know if I see an upset, but I think that the 10 points is excessive a little bit. I think a lot of that is built into our purview. You know, a lot of us in the media that view Ohio State as the best team in college football, and I think I would still side with that stance right now. But the thing that I think Miami can really attack is the Ohio State offensive line, which does feel like a bit of a step down from last year. And Miami's got Reuben Bain and all these beasts up front who can put pressure on quarterbacks. And we saw Ohio State struggle a little bit with talented defensive linemen and linebackers in the Big Ten Championship. I talked about this, I think, in the postgame show after Oklahoma. You know, Ohio State gave up 5 sacks against Indiana. I think they've given up 11 all year. So if Miami can heat up Julian Sand, I think that they certainly have a shot here. My biggest hesitation about, you know, outright saying Miami can win this football game is I just don't believe in Carson Beck. I don't love the way that he played against A&M, even though the wind was blowing 35 miles per hour, it appears. I don't trust him in the biggest moments to not make a mistake. And I have a lot more faith in Julian Sand, plus the weaponry he has around him with that receiving core, probably the best in college football. Again, I think Miami can make this a game. I think that they can have a shot to win, but I can't pull the trigger myself on an upset when I feel like the quarterback battle, even though Carson Beck has way more experience than Julian Sand, kind of leans towards the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think he's probably going to be the X factor for that Miami team. But for some reason, I'm like, man, I think people forget why he's been a little inconsistent this year. I mean, this guy, he has the experience. I mean, he's a national championship winning quarterback. Maybe it's only a matter of time that stuff kind of clicks for him again. You know what I mean? I feel like in playoff games. There's always a player that either resurges or a guy steps up. You know what I mean? My dad was talking about that yesterday, and wouldn't be shocked. Just like, you know, in this game, I wouldn't be shocked if Brian Williams comes to life in this game. Maybe a guy, Carson Beck, just ends up playing one of his best, and they, you know, they have a chance. We'll see. But talk to me about real quick about the Georgia and Ole Miss game. Those are my two coordinators going at it, Pete Golden and Kirby Smart, man. It's definitely interesting. I'm kind of torn, man. I'm like, I'm rooting for Pete, but I'm also kind of like, man, I respect Georgia and what Kirby's doing over there, and I know a number of guys on that staff. How about that one? It's a rematch. These teams had a very close one earlier on in the regular season. Now, this time around, there's no Lane Kiffin on the sideline. You think Pete Golden and Ole Miss have enough to get it done, or you think Georgia's just looking too hot right now?
I just love the way that Georgia has gotten better as the year has gone on. You know, we talk about it all the time on the softball side. Throughout a season, teams are allowed to get better. You know, sides of the ball are allowed to get better. And Georgia's defense has pretty obviously gotten better as the season has gone on. You know, against Ole Miss, they gave up 30-plus in the first three quarters and then didn't give up a point in the fourth quarter. Now I think that Georgia is going to be able to throw some wrinkles at them that maybe Ole Miss almost certainly didn't see the first time that they played. It will be interesting to see how this Georgia offense does after so much time off. You know, we talked about how it's felt like a month since Alabama played. It's literally been a month since Georgia played, and Gunnar Stockton didn't do anything too special in the SEC championship. He's been kind of just okay the last few games. So if the Ole Miss defense can cause a little havoc, maybe they've got a shot, but it's just really hard for me to see the Georgia defense that I've seen in, you know, the second half of the season giving up a ton of yards, 30-plus points again to Ole Miss. And kind of on the flip side, how is Ole Miss going to handle some of these tight situations, these tight moments, these real possibilities of in-game adversity without Lane Kiffin? They handled the Tulane game great because they were the better team. But when the going gets tough, how does Pete Golding, how does this staff, how does this team coalesce without the head coach? I'm interested to see how that works. I'm sure they'll be fine, but you never know.
That's one of my biggest question marks, honestly, Gray, is I've been in the shoes of these guys at Ole Miss where a coach has left. Now, it was not my head coach, but when we lost in 2016/17, to Clemson. Damn, every time I bring them up, think about losing these damn dudes. When we lost that game, Lane Kiffin, he dipped. He took a head coaching job, and Coach Saban went ahead and just showed him the door because he wasn't handling it well. That, you know, whole back and forth thing. They also are dealing with that, you know, in this sense. Lane Kiffin, you know, he brought over, you know, majority of his offensive staff. He's issuing them on a loan like they do in soccer, man. They loan out their players. He's loaning out his coaches to go back over there and coach. I can only imagine the challenges of that, knowing they're trying to work the transfer portal and their roster at LSU, but also trying to get ready for this game. Listen, I don't care how well you try to manage that. That's tough for any coach, especially at that level. Hell, Lane Kiffin was struggling to do it, and he was the head coach at was like FIU or wherever he went. And imagine taking over LSU and trying to handle that while going back and coaching for the game against Georgia. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. Then the last one, Gray, we got Oregon, Texas Tech. Winner of this game will be who Alabama plays if they go on to beat Indiana tomorrow afternoon. How do you see that one going? That one's an interesting one for me. Oregon, definitely a good football team. Second half against JMU was a little interesting. You know, they got a defensive coordinator, my position coach, Tasha Foy. He took the Cal head coaching job. So another situation where kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And then this Texas Tech team, I think they got a really good defense, got some really good players, heavily invested there. I just don't know if I'm fully sold just yet, Gray. What do you think about that matchup?
I love this matchup because I don't know. I think that there are a lot of pieces to like about both teams. Oregon's finally healthy. Dante Moore is very, very good. I love a lot of the way that the offense operates. I think Oregon runs the football as efficiently as anybody. You look at offensive success rate, they're number one in rushing. People don't talk about that. Texas Tech defense, though, is so good. I mean, up front, I know you love watching them play, Christian. Like, they get after the football. They're in the right place. They play aggressively. They just seem to do everything right on the defensive side. I just don't know if they're going to be able to score against Oregon like they probably need to. I think if Oregon gets to 28, they're probably good. I don't really know, unless Texas Tech draws up a ton of wrinkles, how they get more than 24 points in this game. But at the same time, you know, when you play against a defense as tenacious as Texas Tech, any play can lead to chaos or a mistake or something like that. So I don't really know how this game's going to go. My gut says Oregon wins, but maybe Texas Tech has saved some things on the offensive side that we haven't seen this year. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I'm a little – this one's an interesting game for me as well, but it's going to be interesting to see because, again, that's who Alabama would play or will play. We'll speak like that. That's who Alabama will play after this matchup against Indiana. And speaking of that, Gray, let's just wrap up with that, man. I know you talked about it, but give me your final, I guess, final prediction. You don't have to give a score prediction. I know some people, they steer clear of that. I didn't like doing it until I had no choice. Now that I host the show, I kind of have to, I guess. But just final prediction of how this thing goes and how it turns out. Not the, just real quick, I forgot to mention this. Weather, I don't think, should be as much of a factor as initially thought. I think there could be some wet conditions early on, but it should settle down by the time the game happens. So I don't know if that means anything for you with this, but there's that.
I would say I have a lot of things that have, you know, reasons as to why I think Alabama is going to win this game that I've gone through. But I do think Alabama is going to win this game. And I think that pedigree is important. I'm really interested to see how Indiana starts. You know, this is the Rose Bowl, the pageantry, the college football playoff, all the things. And Indiana's doing it for the first time in many, many years, if not ever, in certain scenarios. And Alabama was in this game 2 years ago. I think there's something to be said about being there before and understanding the moment. How does Indiana start the game? If they start well, Alabama's in trouble because that means they don't feel any of that natural human emotion that you should feel, and that would be a little bit terrifying. But if Alabama can protect Ty Simpson, Indiana's missing Stephen Daly, who, like, poor kid. I mean, he got hurt celebrating during the Big Ten championship. Like, what a horrible way for your year to end. But that is a gigantic missing piece. And if Alabama can protect Ty Simpson, not let those other guys in the front seven get pressure on him, I think that the Indiana secondary has some holes that Alabama can take advantage of. So I think Alabama's going to win the game. The last thing, Christian, you talked about special teams. The field position battle. Alabama, I feel like, has not won the field position battle decisively in a while. Even the Oklahoma game, you know, there were a few moments where it evened up. I think in the end, the average drive start position was about the same for both teams. Up until halftime, Oklahoma had a decisive edge in that spot. Alabama's got to win the field position battle, because when they have not, we've seen how it's gone, and typically those games are not successful for the Crimson Tide. Yeah. So you got to do all the little things right, and you probably have to play your best game of the year to take down an Indiana squad that has shown a few cracks but certainly no holes so far this year.
No doubt, and that's how I view it too, Greg. I think we go out there and we play our game. We play to our standard, to what we know we're capable of. Alabama, I say the word should win this football game because I just do feel like pound for pound. I know those guys play tough. They play discipline, all that. But we've got some dudes, man. And when these guys are on their game, I mean, listen, I know they got a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, but don't forget, when Ty was playing to his standard earlier in the year, he was talked about as being a Heisman candidate. Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Williams, when we can get him back rolling, right? I mean, Isaiah Horton, Lonzier Brooks, who had a breakout moment against Oklahoma, right? I mean, we got some true weapons. We might not necessarily have that running game that we would like, but this offense is definitely capable. And to go with it, we have a defense now that we feel confident in that can get stops. They can get off the field on third down much better than they did last season. They can force turnovers. And overall, man, they've just been playing so much better. So, yeah, I'm with you, brother. Yeah. I'm feeling the same way, man. I'm feeling confident, Gray.
Let me add one more thing, if I may, Christian.
Please do.
I was thinking about this today at breakfast. if Alabama's got a chance at the kill shot, you've got to take it. And I think that that's one of the things that we've discussed in postgame that we have not loved about this team is it doesn't feel like they're capable of blowing people out, and it doesn't feel like they're capable of putting away games in certain spots. We've seen games where they've had big leads and kind of, you know, maybe a chance where if they go on a long drive, they can shut the door and then they go three and out. That happened against Oklahoma. That happened against Auburn. That's happened multiple times. And if Alabama, if there's any opening at all to get the kill shot, and maybe there won't be, but if there is, you have to take it. Because if you let Indiana hang around, we've again seen them close games very, very well. Do not give them the opportunity to do that against you.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. And I think that's why starting fast also is a big deal. Like to go with what you said, starting fast, then also finding ways to keep your foot on the pedal the entire time and taking that life out of. My dad said something interesting last night, which I actually really agree with what he said. He said, look, at the end of the day, that Alabama A still means something. And Indiana probably saw that draw when we won against Oklahoma. They probably would have preferred to play Oklahoma. Even with our issues that we've had as of late, it's Alabama. There's just something about it. And he said if he was coaching this team, he would make sure that you send that message early on, because he feels like Indiana's going to have some type of, in the back of their minds, a little bit, they're going to be a little intimidated because they're playing Alabama. Like you mentioned earlier, they haven't really been here like that. I think it's the first time these two teams have ever played. And I watched a video of these guys being interviewed about like who their favorite Alabama players. I was like, damn, that's low key, a little disrespectful. Not really, but I'm like, damn, you're really asking these guys, hey, who's your favorite player from their program? Because there's such a great program. You guys are, you know, just the worst or the losingest program ever in college football. But anyway, to my dad's point, I was like, yeah, that's a solid point, man. You go out there and prove, yeah, this is what you've heard about. I think that kind of will affect the confidence in that in Indiana team. And could maybe lean in your favor when it comes down to it. But if you start slow and you give them, you let that confidence live and let it build up for them, I think you're just going to make it even more of a difficult game for you in the long run. So it's interesting that you say that along the lines of what he was saying last night. I agree with everything both of you guys said.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great football game. I can't wait to watch. I mean, there's nothing quite like a New Year's Day, a Rose Bowl atmosphere. I'm going to be coming in from Columbia, South Carolina, actually, ironically.
You should have told me. I would have told you all the spots. You got to go. You got to get. There's a place called Jimmy's Mart, Gray. It's where I spent about half my childhood. It's a gas station / food mart. And when I tell you, man, they've got, so if you like breakfast, you go in there, you get you some cheese, grits, some sausage. I mean, they'll hook you up. Now, it's like, you know, Southern breakfast now. And the ladies that work there since I was a kid all the way to high school, man. They kind of got, you know, a little meat on their arms. If you know what I'm talking about, they know how to whip it in the kitchen. They're that type, man. I love those ladies in there. You know what I mean? Like the school, like the lunch ladies, that kind of build and kind of attitude is so sweet. But you need to stop by there. But not only that, but they've got slaw dogs. Now, I don't know if you guys listen are fans of slaw dogs. But slaw dogs, now they've got coleslaw, but also chili, mustard, onions. And I think it's a Carolina thing because I tell people about them all the time. They're looking at me crazy. Those things I'm talking about are money. And you can get them from there. And if you don't go there, there's a fast food place. It's called Rush's, and it's right around the corner from that. And they're known for their slaw dogs. It's like an applewood bacon chicken sandwich. They've got burgers. They got soft serve ice cream and stuff. It's like an old fashioned diner, but it's a fast food place, man. Anytime you're in Columbia, you got to check it out. Now, I know you're probably going to be busy and you might not have time, but next time, brother, I'll get you right. Now, those aren't like downtown. Now, you got to go on my side of town, which is northeast. It's a little bit, it's like 20 minutes out. But listen, man, God, you're making me hungry, brother. You're making me hungry. I'm missing me a slaw dog from Columbia, South Carolina, man. It's been a minute.
Look, I'll do my best. We got Alabama women's basketball tomorrow, a pretty early tip at South Carolina, so I will be on the clock, but I will do my best to hit up as many haunts as I can.
If I have to DoorDash you a Rush's slaw dog down to Colonial Life Arena or wherever they're playing, Gray, don't worry. just don't get it messy now. I know you wear your nice suit and tie when you're calling games. You look very professional. I want it now. It's good now. It's going to be dripping, you know, sauce and all types of stuff, but it's worth it, man. There's also a place called Sandy's that's actually downtown that got a whole bunch of hot dogs and different stuff. I don't know what's up with us with hot dogs, man, but maybe it's me. Great. Have a great call. So again, everybody can tune in. It's tomorrow, you said? Tomorrow women's basketball or today?
Yeah, tomorrow, 1 o'clock Central Time tip, and then we'll get on the plane and I'll get back and catch up on anything I might have missed in the Rose Bowl kick and watch the rest of it and get ready to do a post-game show with you and talk all about it.
Heck yeah, man. Looking forward to it again. LLH Healthcare Post-Game Party. Gray Robertson and myself will be analyzing this game, and hopefully it's just that. Hopefully it's a party to kick off the new year 2026 on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Gray, man, I appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Have a great call in my neck of the woods, man, and look forward to talking to you after the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those hot dogs. Thanks, Christian. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year, brother. Oh, man. I love it, man. That's Gray Robertson, man. Awesome dude, man. Again, my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. We have a lot of fun. If you guys haven't heard us, man, as you guys just heard, man, we have great chemistry. We really enjoy it, and we'll be covering the post-game show on the network. So tune into that. Wherever you listen to the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Tide 100.9 for sure, wherever you get it on your end of things, man, check us out. We always we break the game down for you, man. We're honest, we're direct, and we answer questions as well. So you guys can submit questions to us on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll address those there as well. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got some folks on the phone lines. Want to talk with you guys. 205-342-9904. Got a few more things to add to this whole picture on New Year's Eve as we get ready for the Rose Bowl tomorrow, 3 p.m. Central Time kick. We'll do that when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Top 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-
Year-end sale. Level up to luxury at Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Get there before your friends do. Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa.com.
On select models with approved credit, interest accrues from date of purchase, expires month end.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Who are Steve, Hammage Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fikes Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice afternoon. The sky's sunny, the high 51. Tonight clear, not as cold as recent nights, the low 32. Tomorrow mostly sunny, the high 58. Friday becoming mostly cloudy, a chance of developing showers during the day. Friday's high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Chase, real quick, I just want to confirm, you still got me on your end. I know something weird just kind of happened with the stream, so I just wanted to make sure we're all good to go.
Yeah, we're still good to go, Christian.
I think he's kind of playing catch up. Chase, just give me a confirmation if you can hear me all right. I just want to make sure we're all good before we get back on the phone lines. I know we've got several callers lined up. We just got done speaking with Gray Robertson, my partner on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. So if you guys haven't already, man, make sure you guys check us out again post-game. We come on about an hour after the game concludes, after they wrap up the press conferences and all that stuff with the coaches. So check us out tomorrow. Game's at 3, so probably around 7 o'clock when we get on air. So make sure you guys check that out. I know you guys keep leaving messages about Vanderbilt. I got to pull up the score on that one. I haven't seen it just yet, but we'll do that here in a second. We could talk about it, but I know we're running down on some time. I want to get in some final thoughts. Let's squeeze in some calls real quick, 205-342-9904. We got JD up next. JD, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, Christian. How you doing?
JD, you there?
Hey,
Chase, you might have to, Chase, try doing this real quick. Try leaving and coming back, refreshing. I think he's doing it again that it was doing earlier. Andy will do it to you. All right, there we go. JD, you with us? That's interesting, man. I'm still not hearing it on the radio side of things. Chat, you guys can hear me, right? Just confirming you guys can hear me. Chase, maybe try one more time. It's just showing there's no audio on y'all's end.
Can you hear me, Christian?
In worst case, if we need to go to break, we can. JD, can you hear me?
Hey, Christian, how you doing?
That's interesting, man. Chase, let's do this. Let's take a quick time out on the radio side of things and try to get it just cleaned up. Then we come back. We'll just combine it. So real quick, sorry, we're having some tech difficulties. It comes up. It's live radio. It happens. So we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll get it all cleaned up. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll keep breaking down this game, putting our, I guess, final thoughts on it, get y'all's predictions, all that good stuff. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Our coverage is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. For all your sporting good needs, for all your team gear needs, check out academy.com or visit one of their many locations all across the Southeast.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205.
Weather brought to you by Fincher and Osmond. Fincher and Osmond carries artisan-created diamonds. And trust us, they are bigger than you expect. Visit www.fincherandosmond.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
More equals more with Straight Talk. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Taxes and fees apply. The $25 plan requires a compatible unlocked device and a new line of service. Additional terms apply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across the United States and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
California, here we come.
The Crimson Tide, the Indiana Hoosiers, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl.
Going to Rose Bowl, baby.
To play top seeded Indiana.
Roll Tide.
The road to the national title continues. Live from Pasadena, California, our coverage begins at noon on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high 51. Tonight clear, not as cold as recent nights. The low 32. Tomorrow mostly sunny. The high 58. Friday becoming mostly cloudy. A chance of developing showers during the day. Friday's high at 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network. Work on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this New Year's Eve edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Everything is back and rolling. I appreciate you guys having patience, man. Technology, man, it's live radio. Some things come up, but we're all good. We're squared away. We're, like Chase said, we're going to keep on rolling. 205-342-9904. We're going to go on the phone lines real quick, but I just played a clip from Chris Fowler during the break we just had here on stream. And Chase, this is one of those things that I was talking about, like in the national media. I'll play it for you guys on radio real quick. It's not long. It's maybe 25 seconds, but a lot of people, I just don't see this, I guess, perspective that they have. Again, let me preface by saying, I'm not wearing crimson glasses when I say this, but I think Indiana's a good team. And I have no problem if someone says, hey, this is a team, you know, a game with two good football teams, they might lean Indiana. Right. And they give me some, you know, solid reasons for it. Cool. I have no problem with that. But when you say things like they could run Alabama out in the stadium, like to me, I'm like, come on, man. Especially from somebody like Chris Fowler, you watch too much football, but this is what he had to say.
And it's a pleasure to watch this Indiana defense. And I'm telling you, Alabama fans, some of you will know this, but some of you are going to be surprised to hear me say it. Unless your offense plays a lot better and your offensive line blocks a lot better and creates some balance, you're in a lot of trouble against this Indiana defense. So bring the A game, pun intended, or Bama could get run out of the Rose Bowl. Indiana's favored for a reason. I'm really impressed with this team.
Chase, don't you just feel like it's a little too much? Again, it's like these people, it's like you give them an inch and they take a mile. I have no problem, you know, acknowledging, you know, Indiana's talent and the things that they do really well, the defensive you know, performances that they've shown, right? The turnovers that they've forced. I mean, look, they do a lot of things. They're disciplined. They're physical. They stop the run. I get all that. But to run Alabama out of the Rose Bowl, Chase, is he tripping or you think he's warranted in saying that?
He's tripping all over the stairs. That is insane work to say that he's going to run Bama out of the Rose Bowl. I can't. You got it, Christian.
Listen, the only thing I can come up with right here, Chase, is the first quarter against Oklahoma, or if you go back to the SEC championship game and you're like, hey, if that Alabama shows up, listen, and that's why I said, if you take the crimson glasses off, like, to be fair, there's an argument to be had that, yes, if Alabama plays as poorly as they played in those, we'll say, what, five quarters, four from the SEC championship game, fifth one being the first in the Oklahoma game. Yeah, I definitely could see Indiana winning the game. I would not say running this out of the stadium, but I could understand people viewing it like that. But I think that's the problem, Chase. I think they're too fixated on just that. And they're completely leaving out the whole piece of, hey, the last three quarters this Alabama team played wasn't some fluke. It just looked like how we looked earlier on in the year. And to me, you're talking about a healthier football team. Again, that's something to take into consideration. I don't like you making excuses, but that's valid. We were banged up in that Georgia game. Hell, we were banged up the last few games of the season. We're healthier than ever. To hear people talk like this, I'm just like, come on, man, that's too much, way too much. But let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got JD up next. JD, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, Christian? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, I am good. You asked a question earlier about faith in the Rose Bowl. I'm here to deliver you an answer. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it. Talk to me.
I think it matches up a lot similar in various perspectives to the 2009 Texas Rose Bowl. Alabama hadn't won a national title in a while, and here we are today, as a lot of fans are spoiled, thinking, oh, we haven't won a title in 1 year or 2 years. Alabama's done. They're off the map. No, I mean, we've consistently competed for national titles. It's going to be hard to match what Saban's done over those years, but it's that feeling that we're the underdog again. We're going in there against, you know, Colt McCoy was supposed to be a phenomenal quarterback, and he was. Here's why I think the turning point is going to be in the game, Christian. Field position. Most of the time teams have scored on Alabama this year is when the field position has favored them and Alabama's defense was against the wall. Nobody has really truck-sledded Alabama's defense the whole length of the field all year long. Sure. I mean, that really hasn't happened. So my question, the one I'm going to pay attention to, I think we're going to see similar attributes that we saw in the 2009 Texas-Alabama game. The defense comes alive, sparks alive, and all of a sudden their defense is playing on the heels because now they're like, wait a minute, we're behind. We've got to adjust, and mistakes are made. That happened in Oklahoma, and what happened? Running lanes opened up. We couldn't run the ball. All of a sudden, a 30-yard break. We couldn't run the ball. 8-yard run into the end zone. Daniel Hill. So I think it's our defense that's going to really set a tone for our offense in this game. But Alabama, not down and out. And hey, don't worry about the glitches. I'm a diehard Alabama fan, man. Look, I was win, lose, or draw. I'm always gonna be there. I was there through the hard years. I was there through the good years. So when technology messes up, I'm not a fan that's going to run. I'm always going to be there in the background. I'll wait whatever it takes, brother. But hey, I really think that we're looking at an Indiana team that is good but is very overhyped. And we're looking at an Alabama team that is battle-tested, has played in consistent clutch moments. And let's face it, the only clutch games Indiana has played in so far, they had a cushion, knowing that if they lost one, they were still in. This is out. You're one and done. Alabama has had to play through a gauntlet of the season where just about every game they were worried about being out. They've had their backs to the wall. They've taken their lumps, and they've persevered time and time again. So I don't think you're going to have a mental fatigue on Alabama this year in this game. I think the defense is going to come out ready to fire. I think the defense is going to play a significant role. I think it's going to open up the run game and the pass game. As long as we play sound, we don't make mistakes. I think the game will get delivered to us. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a walk all over them, but I do not think they're going to walk all over us. I think Alabama's tried, true, and proven. And hey, you know what? Well, Indiana, okay, you beat Ohio State, you beat Oregon, good. Ohio State's biggest victory is against Texas, who's not even in the playoffs.
That's a solid point. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, and I think it's going to be important. Man, we got to punch these guys in the mouth, especially early on. And send a message. I think that definitely could do something to this team. And I know that they've showed the ability to come back, but at the same time, man, I just feel like a lot of people are sleeping. Like you mentioned, the resilience of this football team. Alabama's never been just completely out of a game. Hell, even Georgia, as bad as that game looked, to be fair, Alabama had some opportunities. We just couldn't capitalize in that second half. So,
the fourth and 12, if we weren't playing to win, we would have just punted it. We could have played lax. And if we had punted it, they wouldn't have had that extra 7 points. The victory wouldn't have been as big. I mean, so we were playing to win. We were down, you know, 10 or 12 people. Look, we're going to go into this. And I really think, like I said, the offense is going to feed the defense. The defense, being able to create a little bit of havoc, puts a little pressure on their defense to have to buckle up. But mistakes we made, I think we can expose those mistakes. And once we start getting a lead and our defense is playing lights out, I think more mistakes are going to be made on the offense. We saw that role play out several times. But I think it's really going to start with our defense, brother.
Yeah. Hey, listen, defense still wins championship games, even in this new era where everybody just wants to score points, man. You can't forget about the defense. Hey, JD, man, great stuff. Really good points. And I appreciate you hanging on with us. And we're going to try to get one more call in real quick. But hope you have a great New Year's, man. And appreciate you hitting us up.
Hey, you too, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Let's see if we can squeeze Lexus on here real quick. We can, Chase. Lexus, you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I can't complain. Is your first time calling?
It is my first time calling. However, it's not my first time watching. I have a comment to make. I yes, am a UGA fan. However, I am an SEC supporter. And I want Alabama to win this freaking football game. I just do. I'm sick of Big Ten. I'm sick of Indiana. I'm sick of all of it. And I want them to win this game bad. I'm just going to say these couple of things, and then I'm going to let you go. I will say this honestly and truthfully. I'm that person that can take the fan hat off and talk football. And I will say this. I have watched Indiana. I went back and watched them yesterday play Penn State and Oregon. And Indiana is one of those teams that I think is the jack of all trades, but the master at one. The master at one. They are hella good on third down. They are hella good on third down defensively. And I still say, with all of that in mind, that because at first Ohio State was in heaven. Nobody could beat Ohio State. Ohio State was already given the national championship, if you listen to CBS and ESPN and all of these folk, until Indiana beat them. Now they have Indiana on the throne. I don't believe neither one of them belong there, okay? And I do think with smart, disciplined, tough football and no crazy, silly mistakes like personal foul penalties, turnovers, and things of that nature, Alabama can compete and even beat Indiana. And one last thing, stop worrying about being the underdog. Sometimes that's the best thing to be. Oregon sitting over there in the corner glad ain't none of y'all talking about this. And then they trying to figure out how they going to get in the national championship game. So don't be worried about all that. Sometimes you don't need all that press and glory and praise and all that. You just need to buckle up and play some freaking football. And I'm going to be cheering for Alabama almost as hard as I cheer for Georgia when I watch this game. Now, come on, let's do this.
Thank you. Lexi, let me tell you real quick, because I know we got to rush out of here. We're literally against the clock, but I can't help but tell you. You might need, are you sure you don't work for ESPN? That was one hell of a breakdown, and now I'm blown away. We might need to get you. You need to start calling in more often. I know you're a UGA fan, but that was, I mean, spot on, and I love it. And you watch ball, too. You're going to watch and film and breaking it down. You fit in right with us, so you always got a place here with us on the Miller's Edge. But I hope you have a happy New Year's. Thank you so much for calling. Again, really good stuff, and really enjoyed that. I hope you have a great New Year's, And we'll see. Hopefully we get this dub and maybe we'll have a rematch with you guys down the road.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. I'll watch you again and come back and support your channel no matter what. I can be a UGA fan and love Bama too, especially when they're playing other conferences. So happy New Year. Take care.
Thank you so much. You too. All right, we literally got to get out of here. I appreciate you guys. We're going to stay on the stream right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All our radio listeners, I hope you have a great New Year's and hopefully we're back here on Friday. Right, talking Alabama victory over Indiana. Right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.